largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Each week, for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation, makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war, makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. Philco has assisted in discovering your choices for the Radio Hall of Fame by the editors of that famous weekly of show business, Variety. No reasonable person could possibly challenge the right of today's guest master of ceremonies to a shining place in your Radio Hall of Fame. He owns a longer period of stardom than any dramatic actor or actress in Hollywood, 22 years. The films in which he has starred, from White Sister in 1922 to his latest, Kismet, and including Beaujeu, Lost Horizon, Bulldog Drummond, Aerosmith, and others, are like a who's who of motion picture classics. This is a pretty big build-up, but fortunately, the man is equal to the responsibility. Ronald Colman.
Thank you, Glenn Riggs, for the eloquent flattery. At this moment, awaiting you in the reception room of your Radio Hall of Fame, are an illustrious composer, Rudolf Frimmel, a top-notch monologist, Henny Youngman, one of our foremost swing pianists, Dorothy Donegan, Paul Whiteman and the orchestra and chorus, and the Merry Men. The fact that one member of a quartet helped write an insane ditty called the Hutsat Song, which swept the country, is no reason to install the entire foursome in your Radio Hall of Fame. But when you add to this such interesting items as, to wit, they have introduced more hit songs on the air than any other singing organization, their record sales in the last 3 years have been larger than that of any other vocal combination, and that Variety deems them your choice as America's outstanding quartet, then the only way you can keep them off this program is by changing its name. This we refuse to do. So it's still the Radio Hall of Fame. And hang out the banners and ring the bells for the Merrimack.
If the South gave you those two eyes of blue, thank Dixie for me. If it gave you that smile and that lovable smile, that little draw, that's how you all kind of made me fall. If the South gave you a charm that is new, thank Dixie for me. If it taught you to kiss, to make my heart miss, tell the folks way down there, I'm obliged, I declare. A funny child on that day, when you say okay, thank Dixie for me.
If it makes you go for candied yams, real pork chops and ginny hams, ferret really barbecued, give the folks down there my gratitude. Southern chicken nicely fried, lots of gravy all over the side, Creole dishes filled with spice, tell the folks down there they've been real nice. Tasty dish?
You mean catfish?
A sizzling pan?
Well, what biscuits, ma'am?
Lordy me, what do I see?
Cornbread, gingerbread, honey bread too, time everybody knew. If the South gave you a heart that is true, thank Dixie for me. Gave you those two eyes of blue, thank Dixie for me.
If it gave you that grin, that how you all been, that curtain line like baby mine, it's mighty fine.
If the South gave you a charm that is new, thank Dixie for me. If it taught you to kiss a little bit, hug a little bit, cuddle, call yourself a folks way down there, I'm much obliged, I do declare, on the day that there's three in our family, I'm gonna thank you all below the Mason-Dixon line. You made me fall in love with that sweet guy.
They'll be back later. But that was a song that should be, as a matter of fact, it has been, recorded. Of course, you can't play a record without a phonograph. And, yes, you've guessed it, Glenn Riggs has something to say about phonographs.
Here's an election bulletin from your Radio Hall of Fame. No, not on the presidential election. Those bulletins are coming in next Tuesday, when you'll spend an exciting evening at your radio. This is about another kind of vote that has been going on quietly during the past few weeks while politics has held the spotlight. It's a vote on what kind of products people want for their homes after victory. Perhaps you yourself have had an opportunity to cast your ballot. You'll be interested in how the voting came out. Radios and radio phonographs stood high on the list. And when the question was asked, what make of radio do you intend to buy? Philco won by a landslide. Yes, by an average of 3-1 over any other radio. This emphatic vote for Philco reflects its leadership for 12 straight years before the war. Leadership which made Philco the world's largest radio manufacturer. Of course, Philco earned that leadership by giving you year after year the finest tone and performance, the greatest radio values your money could buy. After victory, all you hope for in your radio or phonograph of the future will be yours under the Philco name. Famous for quality the world over.
The stage quivers with ecstasy as there approaches a mighty man, the dean of modern American music, who has so deservedly won a niche in your Radio Hall of Fame, Paul Whiteman.
Thank you, Ronald, for saying I have deserved to win my niche in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's not so much a niche you have, Paul. It's more like a vestibule. And now I see you're going to do something called Now and Then.
Yes, generally we first play a 15 or 20-year-old tune the way it was shuffled off by bands in the old days. And then, for contrast, we serve it up with modern trimmings. Today we're reversing the process. We're going to play Wabash Blues, and our first version is wrapped in cellophane and fresh off our 1944 musical production line. Now the Wabash Blues, the way it was played in the old days when it featured Mike Pingator and his banjo. Get ready, Mike. Wind up on that old corn popper. Oh, wind it up, my boy. Wind it up. Thank you.
Kenny Youngman is so well known to radio audiences through his Raleigh cigarette program and his many appearances on the Kate Smith Show that almost anything I could say about him would be superfluous. So I will be superfluous. That his vocal cords erupt more words in less time than any other monologist does not get him past your committee of admissions. But that he is one of the funniest of the monologists, an ad-lib artist without a superior, and a heckler-subduer par excellence, does, so the welcoming committee will now get busy and greet Kenny Youngman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ronald Coleman, and how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Ah, yes, there's good news tonight. Ah, yes. I'm thrilled to be on the Hall of Fame show, folks. You may have heard me before. I had a broadcast of my own last week. I was the one who wasn't running for president. Ah, yes, there's good news tonight. I just got here from my hotel and I feel great. I got up at the crack of 6 this morning, took a shave and a shower, and at 6:05 I was back in the lobby again fast asleep. Oh, those hotels. Trying to get a hotel room in New York is impossible. I went up to one desk clerk and you should have seen the greeting I got. You know how they hold up two fingers and a V for victory? Well, he gave me just one of them. I finally did get a room and bath, but it was very inconvenient. They were in two different hotels. Had a pretty nice room, but I have to get out by election day. That's when it becomes a ballot box once again. It's not exactly a suite. In fact, I don't think it's the regular hotel accommodation, because every morning the chambermaid reaches in, grabs me by the feet, sticks my nose in a light socket, and tries to vacuum the floor with my head. My hotel has a bunch of soldiers from a camouflage unit stopping there. Last night at 12:30, four trees and a rosebush were caught following a blonde at the room 305. I know, I was the rosebush. You can't even trust the food in the restaurants these days, no matter how much you pay. I saw one restaurant that advertised three different priced dinners. $3, $2, and you'll be sorry. Yes, sir, everything's changed, folks. I remember when you used to get food in the automat. Now you put a nickel in the slot, a hand comes out, wipes your chin with a napkin, and the voice says, "That's all, bud. Don't you know there's a war going on?" I came here by taxi cab, and those taxi drivers are really wonderful. We had a very successful trip. 3 hits and 2 near misses. We ran out of gas, so the cab driver filled his tank with a bottle of Serutan. We came the rest of the way backwards. Ah, yes, there's good news tonight. Ah, yes, I'm getting a few laughs here. But it's nice seeing my friend Paul Whiteman again. Mr. Whiteman, please do me one favor. Don't introduce me to any more of your lady friends again. I will get my own ugly women. Mr. Whiteman introduced me to a girl last night. You should have seen her. She flew in for the occasion. She had a number one priority on a broomstick. Did she look old? She looked like John's other grandmother. I had to be polite, so I danced with her. Every time she bent her leg, it sounded like a door opening on Inner Sanctum. I finally got myself a nice-looking girl, and right in the middle of a dreamy waltz, some tough Marine tapped me on the shoulder and said, "May I dance with your partner?" I said, "You'll dance with my partner over my dead body." And you know, it worked out fine after he put a little wax on my chest. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. But I go in for music now. Seeing I'm with Mr. Whiteman again, it's sort of just a little lesson from Mr. Whiteman. I've just written a brand new song that will make another Berlin out of me. They'll drop bombs on me, too. Frank Sinatra promised to do this song for me. And I predict one thing about Sinatra. If he eats a bowl of Wheaties, he's washed up. He can't be so weak carrying all that money to the bank. The name of the song is "I'll Walk Alone," because even my best friends won't tell me. My violin, please. Introduction, please, Paul. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Paul. Miss Harper, I will play the solo, please. Thank you. Do you realize how much money I can make a year in hush money alone? You know, I wanted to see Oklahoma, so I stood in line, and would you believe it, I saw Oklahoma? The end of the line was in Tulsa. You know, I don't have to do this for a living. I own a pack of cigarettes outright. For all I do. You know that honey youngling spelled backwards is ridiculous? Ah, this music brings back memories of my childhood days. My nurse used to put me on her knee and say, Henny, you're the most beautiful and intelligent child I ever saw. After a while, she sobered up again. I was having dinner the other night, and one waiter said to the other, and the other waiter said, what makes you say that? He said, the customers are insulting us back again. Oh, I forgot, folks, there's a woman in the audience who left her baby carriage outside the theater with a little girl in it. The management has asked me to announce that the kid just went out with a sailor.
One of the most brilliant lights illuminating the entire field of operetta is the composer who created the enchanting music for Rosemarie, The Vagabond King, Katinka, The Firefly, and a host of other tuneful productions. His songs and piano pieces are an unending delight. He is himself a pianist of stature, many years ago winning his reputation as a concert artist when he appeared with the eminent violinist Jan Kubelik. But it is chiefly because of the music he has written that you have taken Rudolf Frimmel into your heart and into your Radio Hall of Fame. Rudolf Frimmel.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Not at all, Rudolf. I've always admired your beautiful music.
And I always admire your pictures. I like you in your last picture, Kismet, very much.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I like the way you acted, your voice, your bearing, your facial
well,
expressions.
Now, what did you like most?
The paint on Marlene Dietrich's legs.
Oh, yes, Miss Dietrich will always be well off financially.
Why?
Such beautiful gilt-edged securities.
Hello, Rudolf.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, you two know each other?
Oh, yes. Some years ago, Rudolf wrote his Chinese suite especially for a concert of mine at Carnegie Hall. Rudolf, I wonder if you'd sit down at the piano and play something.
Of course. How about a chansonnet?
That'll be fine.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rudolph Trimmel. Ladies and gentlemen, you undoubtedly recognize in Chansonnette the theme of the Donkey Serenade. Long after Chansonnette was written, the motion picture version of the operetta Firefly was produced. And for that picture, Chansonnette was revamped into the Donkey Serenade. Just one of the many wonderful melodies concocted by Rudolph Trimmel. So here's Paul Whiteman with orchestra and chorus and a Rudolph Trimmel medley.
As roses do. is a fairy town, you loudy rattle of loady crew. Oh, you serve King Louis to keep the crown and save our city from Burgundy.
Jimmy Carroll, Peggy Turnley, the orchestra and chorus for a beautiful tribute to Rudolph Brimmel.
Your Radio Hall of Fame will continue after station identification. This is the Blue Network. You're listening to Philco's Radio Hall of Fame, with today's cast consisting of the Mary Max, Rudolph Brimmel, Henny Youngman, Dorothy Donegan, Paul Whiteman with orchestra and chorus, and your guest master of ceremonies, Ronald Coleman. And now, Ronald Coleman changes his role from master of ceremonies to that of dramatic actor in a play that's especially written for your Radio Hall of Fame. We are in the fishing village of Missolonghi, in Greece, a country bloody with war and ripped by dissension. Missolonghi is on the Gulf of Patras, a village surrounded by swampy meadowland, dismal in the rainy season, its streets running rivers of almost liquid mud. In a little house, slightly raised above the others, its windows giving a fine view of the nearby lagoon, is a youngish man dressed in the uniform of an English colonel. He is lying on a bed. His eyes stare. His lips move.
Eternal summer gilds them yet. But all except their sun, it sets. The mountains look on Marathon, and Marathon looks on the sea. And musing there an hour alone, I dreamed that Greece might yet be free. For standing on the... Come in!
How do you do? I heard voices. I thought I might have intruded.
No, I was just amusing myself with the discordant music of my own voice. Reciting poetry is one of my worst habits, Dr. Millingham.
You haven't taken your medicine.
Oh, you're very observant, Doctor. I should have you in the hills, searching out an unwilling enemy instead of prescribing pills for an unwilling stomach.
Now, this is no time for levity. You haven't taken any medicine since my last visit.
Ah, who told you that? Mariana?
Oh, what difference does it make? You're a sick man. A sicker man than perhaps you realize. You can't stay here. The climate's impossible for a man in your condition. 3 weeks of almost steady rain, dampness, cold. You must be evacuated back to England.
Rain, dampness, cold, and you want to send me to England. I love England, but when you refer to its climate, it's like sending an African native to hell as a change from the heat.
Well, you must go someplace where you can get better medical care. You've had one seizure already. I can't answer for your life if you have another.
Oh, I can't go, Doctor. The dead have been awakened. Shall I sleep? The world's at war with tyrants. Shall I crouch?
Ah, you're just being romantic.
Romantic? It's because I'm such a realist that I can't go. Perhaps it's conceit, but I feel that the fate of this people's war, of Greece itself, is on my shoulders. Why, the jealousy alone, if it weren't held within bounds, would be fatal to our cause. Look at these guerrilla leaders. Kallikratonis is jealous of Botsaris, and Botsaris is jealous of Mavrogordato. If I weren't here to act as a balance wheel, they'd probably be springing at each other's throats instead of fighting our common enemy.
But you're killing yourself. Wouldn't it be wiser to go back to England, and then when you're better...
Doctor, perhaps... blame it on romanticism if you must. Or perhaps I'm like a plant, which spends its entire life preparing for its one climactic function, and then fulfills it and dies. Nothing that it has accomplished before is of the slightest importance compared to fulfilling what nature intended as its end.
I've called you romantic, but you'll pardon me if I say that you're more than that. You're rash, rash to the point of madness.
Ah, you're not the first to say that, Doctor. That opinion has haunted me all my life.
Oh, I have nothing more to say, except to urge you to take your medicine regularly. Mariana!
Yes, Doctor?
Please see that our patient takes his medicine at the proper times, and that means now. That's an order to both of you. Good day.
Clever man. He didn't even give me a chance to answer him.
Here's your medicine.
Nonsense. I don't want any of that vile-tasting stuff.
Please take it. It will help to make you well. And you must become well quickly.
You would be sorry if I didn't become well quickly?
Oh, yes. Very sorry.
Ah.
All of us in my salon, you would be sorry.
Oh.
Now, take your medicine.
You've flattered me right into it. There. Oh.
Why don't you let them send you back to England?
I don't know. Perhaps it's as the doctor said. I'm rash or mad.
No.
Or an incurable romantic. I visited your country first when I was a very young man. Most of the people were ragged and thin and looked half starved. But in every tattered Greek, I seemed to see a being in whose veins ran the blood of Pericles, and of Homer, and of Socrates, and of Leonidas and his 300 heroes, who made Thermopylae an eternal symbol of unyielding courage and an inspiration to all of us. Do you understand?
I understand that you love Greece. I think that you're a very wonderful man.
Ah, you're trying to get me to take my medicine again.
No, it's true.
I wish there were certain people in England who felt as you do. Oh, well, perhaps they'll change their minds. And if they... All right, come in.
I felt I had to see you, sir.
Yes, Parry.
There are signs of disaffection among our men. Somebody's been putting them up to it.
Oh. Kallikratonis?
Yes, I'm almost certain.
I believe I can handle our enemies, but God protect us from our so-called friends.
He sent some of his guerrillas down here to mingle with ours and spread rumors.
What rumors?
Well, some of the rumors are that you're a traitor.
Bah.
And others that you intend to desert them. And that you're a dying man anyway. And that you're mad.
Parry, my mistake has been to allow these men to be inactive too long. They've become soft from being quartered in this village. And now they're an easy prey to some of our allies who are even willing to destroy our unity so that they might receive credit for winning a war which can't be won if that unity is destroyed. Now, look at this map.
Yes, sir.
Here's the Gulf of Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you see, there is Lepanto.
Yes, sir.
Now, we must capture that town. I feel that if we can take Lepanto, where one of the greatest victories of all warfare was won, with their sense of tradition, it will spur Greeks everywhere to rise and actually force unity. And it will also bring us necessary outside assistance. Now, I must have somebody I can trust to scout out Lepanto. You're that man.
Thank you.
Wait, on second thought. Two, maybe better than one. I think I'll go with you.
You can't. You must not get out of that bed.
I'm certain I can do it alone, sir.
I tell you, I can't stay in this bed much longer. I feel like a prisoner held here. I tell you. Well, what's that?
My men, they are mutinying. They will not fight. They want to go home now.
Well, they can't. I'll speak to them. Patty, give me my dressing gown.
Yes, sir.
You're sick.
Oh, there's a sickness out there, and I'm the only one who can cure it. Open the window, someone. Mavrogordato, I'll speak to your men. Fellow fighters in the cause of freedom, what do you wish?
We don't want to stay here. We want to go home.
Home, yes. Yes, I want to go home, too. But home is a place where you are the master, not the slave. Where you can breathe without being told through which nostril you might draw breath. Where you might fly like an eagle
not cower like a rabbit. You must win the right to call this land of yours home. And you will. You will. As if I had to tell you that, for after all, I know what you're doing. You're fighters, and you're not being called upon to fight. You feel your leaders are timid, and this is a clever way of forcing us into action. Well, congratulations. Your plan has worked. Yes, I promise you, you will fight. You have made up my mind for me. I have just decided in a few days we will attack Lepanto.
Hey! Who will lead us?
I will. I will lead you.
How can you? You're ill.
Oh, I was ill. I'm well again. Yes, I'm well. You know how, up to last week, I would row across the lagoon and go horseback riding for exercise. Well, this very afternoon, I'm riding again. Now, is that the action of a sick man?
No.
Good. Then go back to your quarters and be patient. You won't have long to wait. Soon, we attack.
That was good. I think you have convinced them.
Perry, you must leave for Lepanto at once.
Yes, sir.
And you must go back to bed at once.
Never good, I told you. Will you row me across the lagoon?
But you...
You heard what I told them. I've got to show that I'm physically capable of leading them. My authority is hanging by a thread. I must ride today.
But the weather, it's going to rain.
Rain? Do you think I'm some chemical substance? When I mix with water, I'll dissolve. The very thought of getting out of this house makes me feel better already. Come, my friend, we ride.
I'm wet to the skin.
Oh, you're lucky. I'm wet under the skin. Oh, but it was good.
I still think that when it started to rain, you should have remained in that fisherman's hut instead of riding in the olive grove. For a man in your condition...
Ah, nonsense. I'm perfectly... Well, I feel...
What is it?
Get me something to drink.
How is he, Dr. Millingen?
He has moments of lucidity between fits of delirium. Oh. He's delirious now.
Please, follow me.
You see?
Don't be afraid. My days are in the yellow leaf. The flowers and fruit of love are gone. The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. Water. Please, may I have some water?
Here. Take this.
Thank you.
You're lucid now.
Has Parry returned?
You're not to worry yourself about that.
Oh, no. Where's Parry?
Here I am, sir. I've mapped the fortifications. The town is not too well guarded. It will fall like a ripe plum.
Good. That's what's needed. Someone else will have to lead. I'm finished.
Nonsense. You'll just rest and take care of yourself.
Do you think I'm afraid to die? Few men have lived faster than I have. I'm a young old man. And I've lost every illusion save this. That other Englishmen will fight for Greece as I have tried to fight. And that someday she will be... I want to sleep now.
He's gone. He had a wife, did he not?
Yes, but I think he was separated from her.
Well, I must write her that her husband, George Gordon, Lord Byron, is dead. It's 19th of April...
1824. Clea, a leading metropolitan newspaper, asked thousands of its women readers about their ideas on post-war home appliances. The majority of women found refrigerators their most interesting topic. And they all agreed on this point.
Every housewife wants a separate compartment in her refrigerator for freezing food and for making ice cream. And she wants to be able to store an ample supply of frozen foods. Of course, any housewife who is lucky enough to own a Philco refrigerator is already well equipped, both to freeze foods and to store frozen foods. For Philco advanced design even before the war, pioneered with a complete line of refrigerators containing a big separate freezer locker, where you can store frozen food packages, make ice cream, or freeze poultry and meat and keep it for weeks in full flavor and freshness. Yes, it was a new kind of refrigerator, ahead of its time in giving you services that matched your new ideas in food keeping and preparation. And that's what you can look for from Philco after victory. Advanced design, the newest, most practical ideas in refrigeration to help you plan and prepare more delicious meals. And with all this, the utmost in value for the price you pay.
Dorothy Donegan has ridden into your Radio Hall of Fame on the keyboard of a piano. Uncomfortable, but that's one way of solving the transportation problem. She is rated as being the top swing pianist of the day. And when Dorothy plays piano, she hits the keys so hard and fast, well, she just makes the ivories sorry they left the elephant. She has been clocked at more than 200 notes per minute, and it's not mere speed. It's great swing music. So no wonder the public has cast its ballots and voted her into your Radio Hall of Fame. Dorothy Donegan.
And now, here they are, the Merry Macs again. And this time they sing their deeply moving spiritual, Standing in Need of Prayer.
It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Not my brother, not my sister, but it's
me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Oh God, telling us standing in the need of prayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, before bidding you good afternoon, one last word. Not long ago, a company of American soldiers was giving a heartbreaking job of holding the highest ridge guarding the approaches to Aachen. Heartbreaking because this one company had to hold it for 39 days against the assaults of men of three German divisions. The captain from Texas who commanded that company had said, "None of us are going back from this hill except the dead." And those are all who went back. The others held and closed the gateway to that German city. That is an unforgettable story of courage. And yet it is not surprising that a nation with the tradition of an Alamo should breed those men of Aachen. What I'm trying to express to you is the admiration, deep and believe me most sincere, that I know all Englishmen feel for the magnificent, unyielding courage of the American fighting man. Speaking as an ex-serviceman in the war that was fought to end all war, may I say that this time it is my hope, and I know the hope of my countrymen, that our bonds of understanding forged in war will long outlast it, so that in the world to come, we shall not again in a common cause have to mingle our blood, sweat, and tears.
Now, need I tell you how much I enjoyed spending this pleasant hour with Rudolph Trimmel, the Merry Mac, Henny Youngman, Dorothy Donegan, and Paul Whiteman? This is Ronald Coleman bidding you good day and leaving Glenn Riggs to close the doors and bar the windows of your Radio Hall of Fame.
Each Sunday at this time, Philco Corporation brings you your Radio Hall of Fame in the name of Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada. After victory, those dealers will bring new products for good living to your home. Finer radios, phonographs, refrigerators, and air conditioners under the Philco name. Famous for quality the world over. Next week, the Philco Corporation, which brings you the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements, welcomes the great French actor Charles Boyer, the talented photogenic screen star Carol Landis, the clever young star of the films Miracle of Morgan's Creek and Our Hearts Were Young and Gay, Diana Lynn, one of the best of the current crop of blues singers, Nan Wynn, and another top-notch quartet, the Delta Rhythm Boys. It all adds up to an hour of enjoyment. So we'll be looking for you next week at the same time, hoping you'll be waiting on the doorstep of your Radio Hall of Fame. This is the Blue Network.